We come today to 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 12. Father, sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, God has sent the prophet Samuel to the house of Jesse to look at his seven sons, because God has chosen one of those seven sons to be the next king of Israel to replace Saul, who really would not rule in line with God's will. So he's looked at six of the oldest sons. There's only one left, and that's David. Verse 12, and he sent and brought him in, brought David in. Now he was ruddy, which means he had red hair, and withal of a beautiful countenance and goodly to look on, good to look at. He was handsome, I guess. And the Lord said, arise, anoint him, for this is he. David was not tall like Saul, and he was not royal looking like Saul. But David looked good, I guess, in his own way, which is neither here nor there. 13, then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brethren. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. So Samuel rose up and went to Ramah. And along with the Spirit of the Lord, David was fully equipped to do the work of a godly king. God has a plan for you if you are a Christian. He has a plan for every Christian. The Holy Spirit is the engine and the fuel that enables us to fulfill that plan. Make sure you don't have any unconfessed sins in your life. Make sure that you ask God to fill you with His Holy Spirit. Verse 14. But the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul. Let's stop there for a second. Saul lost that engine. He had it, but he forfeited. He lost that engine, and Saul ran out of gas. Any good qualities and any worth Saul had to operate as king in Israel are now gone. He is a shell of a man. The Holy Spirit that he disobeyed has now left him. And this goes right along with what the Bible says. The Bible says that God does not strive with man forever. Eventually, he'll let you go your own way. And so it says, the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul, and an evil spirit from the Lord troubled him. If a person will not let the Holy Spirit rule them, then Satan will move in to influence them. Saul gave Satan a foothold in his life through continual disobedience and a refusal to repent. And as a result, demons have moved in and they will begin to torment him. In fact, they already are. 15, and Saul's servant said unto him, behold, now an evil spirit from God troubles you. Well, that was a rough thing to tell your boss, but it was true. An evil spirit really was tormenting Saul. And God really was against him now. What a horrible thing to think about. Unless you're Saul or somebody like him, who you really don't care. You really don't care that God has left you, because you never liked God to begin with. But it's a horrifying thought to me. Saul never really did care about God. So although I'm sure he doesn't like being uncomfortable, the fact that God is against him, that doesn't matter to him. Big deal. It's how I feel that matters. 16. Let our Lord now command your servants, which are before you, to seek out a man who is a cunning player, in other words, skillful on the harp. And it shall come to pass, when the evil spirit from God is upon you, that he shall play with his hand, and you shall be well. It would have been better if they had told Saul to repent, Because if he does that, then he doesn't need the music to make him feel better, because the evil spirit would leave and the Holy Spirit would return. And that's the thing. He would have returned. God would have forgiven him. This was just spiritual patchwork, a quick temporary fix. And that is no substitute for repentance and a solid walk with God. 17, and Saul said unto his servants, provide me now a man who can play well, and bring him to me. Then answered one of the servants and said, behold, I have seen a son of Jesse, the Bethlehemite, who is a cunning or a skillful in playing, and a mighty valiant man, and a man of war, and prudent in matters, and a comely person, and the Lord is with him. The general public did not know that David was filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, that was just between him and God, and him and Samuel and his immediate family. But anyone with discernment could see the effects of the Holy Spirit on him. David was talented and strong, and he had good judgment. And people are starting to notice this unknown shepherd. When we are filled with the Holy Spirit, we're going to be usable. I'll say it again. Look at this. When we are filled with the Holy Spirit, we will be usable. Someone will want us for something. Just like David, filled with the Holy Spirit. People took notice of him. We can use this man. It's so simple. Ask God to fill you with the Holy Spirit. You're praying to be used by God more and more. Ask God to fill you with the Holy Spirit. Be completely sold out to him. People will want to use you. God will want to use you. And opportunities will arise. 19. Wherefore, Saul sent messengers unto Jesse and said, send me David your son, which is with the sheep. And Jesse took an ass laden with bread and a bottle of wine and a kid, which would be a baby lamb, and sent them by David to his son unto Saul. I should say, sent him by David his son unto Saul. And then verse 21. And David came to Saul and stood before him, and he loved him greatly. And he became his armor bearer. From the first time Saul met David, he admired David. How could you not? David was a hardworking, likable guy who didn't mind serving. You cannot help but like him, unless maybe you were jealous of his popularity. If we will simply serve God by being decent, honest, hardworking people who are willing to serve others, then we will be appreciated, at least by some, and God will be honored through us. 22. And Saul sent to Jesse, saying, let David, I pray you, stand before me, for he has found favor in my sight. Now, normally a king would not request anything. He would simply demand it. But David reflected well on his father. Even Saul could not help but respect the man who molded a young man like David. 23, and it came to pass, when the evil spirit from God was upon Saul, that David took a harp and played with his hand. So Saul was refreshed and was well, and the evil spirit departed from him. And from this we learn that music is very powerful, in case you haven't noticed. Unfortunately, much of it is used by Satan to influence people for evil. Because music is powerful, powerful for good, powerful for bad. But good Christian music can do great things. God-centered music can calm us down when we are stressed out, and it can also open up the lines of communication between God's people and God. Godly music can prepare our hearts to hear God, and especially in the Word of God, and that's what I'm talking about. Well, let's go into chapter 17. Now the Philistines gathered together their armies to battle, and were gathered together at Shochak, which belongs to Judah, and pitched between Shochak and Azekah in Ephes Damon. The Philistines are not stupid. I don't think after their last defeat that they ever thought they could pull off a win against Israel under normal circumstances. However, they know that there is a rift between the spiritual leader, Samuel, and the political leader, Saul. And they know that division weakens any nation. And so notice verse 2. And Saul and the men of Israel were gathered together and pitched by the valley of Elah and set the battle in array against the Philistines. And the Philistines stood on a mountain on one side, and Israel stood on a mountain on the other side, and there was a valley between them. And there went out a champion out of the camp of the Philistines named Goliath of Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span. Goliath was about 9 feet 9 inches tall. So his head could just about reach a basketball hoop on an NBA court. Frightening, but actually Goliath is probably one of the best things that could have happened for Saul's self-focus, for his mental health at this time. It's going to take his focus off of himself, which is always a good thing. Saul's self-focus has been making him sinful and insane. Plus, he's being oppressed by demons. And now, this Goliath thing. Verse 5. And he had an helmet of brass upon his head, and he was armed with a coat of mail. And the weight of the coat was 5,000 shekels, about 125 pounds, 5,000 shekels of brass. His coat of armor, his coat that he wore was 125 pounds. His clothes may have outweighed David's entire body. 6. And he had greaves of brass upon his legs, and a target of brass between his shoulder, and the staff of his spear was like a weaver's beam, and his spear's head weighed 600 shekels of iron, and that would be about 15 pounds, and one bearing a shield went before him. Goliath's javelin was several inches thick with a 25-pound spearhead. Not only that, he had an armor bearer walking ahead of him with a big shield. The guy looked like a tank, not a human being. Verse 8, and he stood and he cried unto the armies of Israel and said unto them, why are you come out to set your battle in array? Am not I a Philistine, and you servants of Saul? Choose a man for you, and let him come down to me. And I would think that if King Saul does not answer this challenge himself, personally, he ought to be embarrassed. He's the king. He's the leader. If no one else is going to do it, then for sure, as a leader, Saul should be out there doing it or dying in the process. If David were the king, his soldiers would have to hold him back from going out there. Verse 9. Well, let's stop right there. We'll pick it up right in the middle of this story next time.